Take your Bibles, please, this morning and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4, this morning. We're going to read one verse this morning. That's Philippians, chapter 4, verse 19. And as our custom is, when we read one verse, I'll read aloud through the first time through, you silently, and then we'll read the second time through in unison. If you would, please, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. As you're finding your place, if you would, stand to your feet, if you're able this morning, in honor of the Word of God, as we read the Word of God together. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's read that together, please. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, thank you so much for this verse. Thank you for the opportunity we have to hear it preached about this morning. God, do a work in our lives and our hearts from the Word of God this morning. Help us to see how much you love us this morning by doing whatever you need to do in our lives. Help us to have open hearts and willing to accept what's done this morning from the preaching of the Word of God. Anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. Use him to help us today. And Father, one last thing. If there's somebody in this room or on the internet listening, and they do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would settle it this morning in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, we'll ask you to keep your Bibles open this morning. I'm going to ask the folks out in the foyer, once again, there's too much walking around out there. I'm going to take all those chairs out of there if you don't use them. So sit down. We got some folks out there who don't feel well, got little ones, that's fine. But just roaming around the hallways, we don't need to be doing that now. We need to sit and listen, please, if you would. Good morning. Have you ever claimed Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then have you ever claimed that promise and he didn't? You say, Lord, I came to you with this need in my life and you didn't supply that need. And I claimed Philippians 4:19 and that the need wasn't met. And maybe you felt like God failed you because he didn't come across with what you thought was the need of your life. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, church, look at me a moment. First of all, we need to settle something about this verse. This is not one of those blab it and grab it verses in the Bible. You know what I'm talking about by blab it and grab it? The people who tell you, If you say the prayer of Jabez, you'll get everything you ever wanted. The guy who wrote that little book on the prayer of Jabez made millions of dollars off of telling people that if you prayed that prayer, you'd get all you wanted, and he got all he wanted by you buying the book, and he got what he wanted and you didn't. And now think about it for just a moment. People, listen to me. God is not a Santa Claus who sits up in the sky waiting for you to say, but I have this need. Give it to me. We understand. Now look at me. We understand that if God gave us everything we thought we needed at the moment, after the fact, wouldn't you look at it, some of those things, and say, man, I'm glad he didn't give me that. Huh? I need these relatives to get out of my house. That's a good need. But anyway, there's a whole different setup here. But have you ever thought about that? If God gave you everything you ever asked him for, think about it. After the fact, would it always be a good thing? Is it like when you got a child in a grocery store and they're in the cart and mom's going down the aisle and the kid is pointing at everything he can see, including the whiskey, I need this, I need that, I need this. Is that what God's supposed to be like, just give us everything that we say that we need? If you get Philippians 4:19 right, here's what it says. Now listen to me. It says this: God, who knows what your need is, will supply what is your greatest need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now listen. That means then, just because I have a want or what I perceive as a need, doesn't mean that's what God's going to supply. God, who knows me and knows what is, and if you'll notice the word need, ladies and gentlemen, there is singular, not plural. God knows what is my need, what is my greatest need, and God will supply that need according to his riches. And we get that word in there and we think, okay, here we go. He's going to open the bank account and I'm going to get all the stuff I ever wanted. No, according to his riches, that means his resources. In glory, by Christ Jesus, God, who has the capability to supply anybody's need of any kind, listen, can and is able to do so, but he looks at us and says, yeah, but I know what you need. Okay, it's the parent-child relationship again. Whoever looked at a five-year-old boy and said, you need a nap, and he said, thank you, I'll be glad to take one. Or if you're old school in Bible, your parents said, you need a spanking. And the child looked at the mom and dad and said, thank you for this correction in my life. I did need this. I need it. Maybe you're really old school and they said, your dad said, go out and get me a switch. I'm going to spank you with this switch. And you're out there looking for spaghetti. I mean, you're trying to find something. No parent ever told the child, this is what you need. And in every case, the child said, yes. You need to brush your teeth. You need to take a bath. But for some reason, the parents seemed to know what you needed better than you did. And so then they supplied the need according to their ability and knowing better, best what was better for you in your life. Now, do you get Philippians 4:19 correctly? No, it's not a blab and grab it verse. You have a need, you ask God, he takes care of the need. That's not what it teaches. It teaches when you have a need and God knows what that need is. And again, it's a singular thing. In other words, he knows what is your greatest need. Haven't you ever had something happen in your life and you said, I didn't need that right now? Yes? I just didn't need that. That was not what I needed. But at the time, it didn't look like it to you. But for some reason, at the time, it did look like it to him, to God. See, ladies and gentlemen, Philippians 4:19 implies to us very clearly that the God who knows us better than we know ourselves, the God who knows what we need better than we know ourselves, the God who is able to supply that need according to his riches, resources, and according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, that God, ladies and gentlemen, who knows us better than anybody else does and knows exactly what is that greatest need, will supply it. Now, there's nothing implied in verse number 19 about you asking for that. Oh, I didn't need that. You didn't ask for it. But he just decided that you needed it anyway. And he supplied that. So Philippians 4:19, if applied correctly, then helps me to understand that God will supply whatever is the greatest need in my life at that time. You trust him enough to know that he knows what he's doing? When it comes right down to it, doesn't God know better what we need than anybody else? Sounds good in church. Sounds a little different out there when you're trying to make a little more month last out the money. Yes? Makes a little more sense that we think, well, what I need is perfectly good health. I mean, that's obviously what I need because I could do more in my life and for others. And we always throw that in there because it sounds spiritual. For others and everything else because that way I have what I need. And obviously I need good health. And if I had perfectly good health, that would be my greatest need. No, it's not your greatest need because if he allows sickness into your life, that must be your greatest need. Can you get this picture? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if you get that right in your thinking, then you'll understand that in your life, God looks at you. Does you have a God that loves you and cares about you? Okay, there's four or five of you. The rest of you, think about it for a moment. Maybe you can go home and get a grasp on the fact that your God loves you this morning. He loves you better than your earthly father. He loves you better than your earthly mother. He loves you better than your grandparents. He loves you better than anybody that ever knew and ever existed in your life. God loves you that much. Oh, yes. And that loving, wonderful Heavenly Father looked down at your life knowing your need. Because you see, He knows your heart. He knows your life. He knows what you are. He knows where you came from. He knows where you are. He knows where you're going. He knows at that moment, this is what they really need. They need this. And He supplies that need. If I get that right in my mind, listen, ladies and gentlemen, then I don't have to fret with God. I don't have to get upset with God. I don't have to question God. I don't have to doubt God. I don't have to think, well, He doesn't know better what I need. Oh, yes, He does. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He's that great, omnipresent God who's everywhere at one time, ladies and gentlemen, and yet can reach down and touch an individual soul in life. He notes the sparrows fall. He numbers the hairs on every head. He knows who I am. He knows where I am. God knows me. And I needed this in my life. But my God shall supply all your need. It means God knows the greatest need of my life. So here I am in the morning starting my day off. I get His word out. It's a beautiful sunny morning like it was today. And I open my Bible just saying, you know, Lord, you know what I need. I need some comfort this morning. Comfort from the scriptures. Dear Lord, just give me what I need today. And you read the Bible and you get convicted. And you think to yourself, wait a minute, that isn't what I needed. Yeah, it was. Or, hey, by the way, or you come to the Word of God and you had not too good of a day the day before, spiritually speaking. A lot of things happen. You got mad, frustrated, aggravated, spoke a little French. And you open your Bible disappointed in yourself. And for some reason you fall in that passage where He talks about the potter and the clay. And you read it and you think, my, He was working on my vessel yesterday and I didn't even see it. And you find comfort and help from God. Philippians 4:19 is really a step of faith. It's a test of your confidence that your God knows what you need better than anybody else does. I'm sorry for some of you people who have to have all this support group to do what you do. Now, by the way, please understand something. They're nice, they're helpful, they're blessing, they're encouraging, they all got all that kind of stuff. But you know what I need more than anything else? You know, I need more than a pat on the back from somebody. You know, I need more than a support group. You know, I need more than anything else in my life. I need my God to look at my life and say, yeah, that's what you need. And me have enough trust in Him to accept that that's what I need. So I come to church to listen to the good singing and the music and the encouragement of the people and everything else, and I'm convicted about the need of salvation in my life. Well, see, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that must be what you need. He keeps convicting you about the fact that you've never settled this thing of salvation in your life. You've never simply come to Jesus Christ and accepted Him as your personal Savior. And so while you hear amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, and you hear hide me behind the cross that the world may see, you hear that kind of stuff, all it does is convict you of your need of salvation. Then guess what you need? You need salvation. It's that simple. Because God supplies what is your greatest need. You came this morning and you had an agenda of what you thought you needed. And God keeps touching that one thing in your life. Is it a need of forgiveness that you need to receive or give? I can't call the list off this morning, and I won't call the list off this morning, but now listen very carefully. If we get Philippians 4:19 right, we get it. Then God, who knows what is your need, He's trying to supply that need in your life. Can't you trust Him? Can't you believe, that's what you need? No, we don't need to say, well, I sure didn't need that. Well, you must have. You must have. That's why it came. Smash the finger in the door. You say, now, come on, there's no way I needed that. Yeah, you must have. You go to the mail hoping to pull out some help or encouragement for a need that you have in your life you've been praying for, and you pull out more bills. You say, now, wait a minute. I asked God for help, and I got a bill instead of help. Must have needed the bill. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, see, I wasn't feeling too good, and I asked him for give me some strength and health, and now I don't feel any better at all. What is that? And you must need the sickness. You know, I found something out, ladies and gentlemen, in times of trial and difficulty and opposition in my life, I find myself more dependent upon God than when I'm healthy and everything's working right. Get that picture? So it must be that my need is to teach me I need to be more dependent on him than on my so-called good health or the blessing or the stuff of my life. Then there are times when he supplies a need in a good way and we didn't even ask him for it. You ever have that? You ever get an answer to prayer you never prayed for? And God just did something for you and you think, wow, what was that all about? Must have known what your need was. But my God shall supply all your need. That's his need, his understanding of what is your greatest need in your life. Philippians 4:19, in the context of Scripture, and that's why you need to keep your Bibles open this morning, also means God supplies all the need from your life. See, look there in Philippians 4 again, please. This whole passage, if you back up a few verses from verse 19, please, he says there, now, you, verse 15, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, you know, Philippians 4:19 is not only about God supplying your need, it's about God supplying your need based on how you take care of others. We got the gimme, gimme Christianity going way too good now. Gimme, gimme. I want this from God. I want that from God. I want this to receive this from God. But Philippians church was promised to have their needs provided because they took care of Paul and they took care of other Christians and they did something for somebody else. That's why verse 19 starts with that word, but my God shall supply all your need according to, he said, because you've been careful to take care of the needs of others, I'll be careful to take care of yours. Oh, you reap what you sow. Oh, I see. If we sow bountifully, we reap also bountifully. If we sow sparingly, we reap also sparingly. Oh, I get the picture. It means you put it out, God brings it back, but you got to put it out to get it back. You got to understand. That was one of those great principles. That's a real confusion to Christians. And here's the principle. You have to give to get. You have to lose to win. That goes all against our thinking. That's so contrary to the Christian today. It's unbelievable. It's contrary to my nature. Contrary to your nature too. I have to give to get. I have to lose to win. I have to die to self to live the way God wants me to do it. I mean, that's completely backwards in this world today. But it's completely the way it works. And here's how God supplies all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus if you are supplying and helping the needs of others. Now look, Christian, look. Stop this selfish Christianity where you just come to church to get instead of give. You come to life to get instead of give. You go to your marriage to get instead of give. You go to work to get instead of give. Everything's about what you get instead of what you give. Everything is about what you receive instead of what you share. Well, you say, well, Pastor Johnson, I just don't have a whole lot. No, the quantity doesn't make any difference. It's the quality of what you give. Remember when Jesus was sitting by the treasury in the temple one day? People come by at the treasury in the temple and they would put their gifts in, their monetary gifts in for the work of the temple. And the disciples are standing there with him and people came with, I mean, probably not wheelbarrows, but essentially large gifts, dropping them into the treasury. And the disciples are going, wow, look at that guy. I mean, he put in all kinds, that was huge. A little widow came by. And put in 2 mites, which is a quarter of a penny, which frankly was about a week's earnings for a lady in those days. And when she dropped those 2 mites into the treasury, Jesus said, fellas, did you see that? And they completely missed it. Who? That lady right there. Then Jesus made this statement. She gave all her living. It doesn't mean she gave away everything she had. She meant she'd worked hard that week, provided her needs. And she came by from that week's earnings and put every bit of it in there. Quantity doesn't matter as much to God as quality of what you give. We're down preaching for Brother Ramos in Mexico, our missionary there in that city, and he and I went to school together. I'll be preaching for him again in September. He had a missions conference, and he was talking to his people about their giving to the Lord's work, missions endeavor. Three little ladies sitting in the service that night thought they wanted to give something to missions, but they just frankly, they were barely making it to eat each day. Now look at me, people, look at me. Wouldn't you say, I mean, come on, those folks don't have to give anything. I mean, a tortilla with a little bit of beans on it was their meal for the whole day. Now, why should they have to give anything, right? They're scrapping to get by. Those three ladies decided they would take a few extra pennies that they had, a few extra pesos, and buy some masa, corn, mashed up corn, and make tortillas and stand on the street corner every day and sell those tortillas after they finished their 8-10 hour day and take the money from those tortillas that they had made and sold and give that to missions. And those three ladies combined gave, I think it was almost $200 a month to missions from the corn tortillas that they had and that they sold. Ha! And then we say, well, look, I've got house payment, car payment, insurance payment. I got 9 cell phones. Because everybody's got to have one. The baby has to have one. The 4-year-old's got to have one. Everybody's got to have a cell phone because, you know, you can't live without a cell phone, for goodness sakes. I mean, where are you going to be? How's it going to work? I got a cable bill. Runs, what, 100 a quarter, 100 and a half a month. I got this, I got that, and I just don't have, yeah. And then we wonder why we think God is stingy. He's not the one who's stingy. You are. Oh, and then there's our time issue. I'm busy. You're the only one. The only one. The rest of us are just standing around the street corner with cardboard signs saying we'll work for food. We got nothing going on in our lives. Well, we're not busy. No. No. You're the only one who's busy. But we still clock about 12, 14 hours of television every week. We still get stuff done. Hey, look at me. The truth is the supply of our need is directly attached to your supply of somebody else's need. That's Philippians 4:19 in its purity. So let's get this straight this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, whether it's time, talent, or tithe, whatever it is you have, whatever God's given you with your life, it may not be much in the sight of some. It may look like two widow's mites to you and to others, but as long as you're doing something with what he's given you, he promises to supply your need according to how you supply other people's needs. So that's why you don't want to just go through life just getting and giving, getting and getting and getting more getting and getting more getting. And feel badly because we don't have what everybody else has. All you have to do is take part of what you have and give. You know, the tithe thing is an interesting concept. Some of you are looking too happy. Let me help you put a real smile on your face. The tithe thing, 10% of my gross income and increase belongs to God. To keep that is to rob God. So you're trying to get my money. No, I'm trying to get you to be obedient. We'd like you to do it here, but okay, that's another subject. But the truth of the matter is, here's the fascinating thing. We get this idea that somehow or another with what we do, I'm not making it on 100% of what I'm giving. I can't give 10% of that away because I'm not making it. The reason you're not making it on 100% is because you're robbing God of the 10. Because he supplies your need according to your supplying the need. You know why your time is, you're just stressed all the time and you got no, everything's just run, go. Because you're not taking the time you have and giving God what you could to help somebody else. Well, people just don't understand what I could do to help. Yeah, you know why? Because you're keeping it for yourself. I'm sick and tired of politicians, movie stars, entertainers, athletes who take their God-given talents and use it for themselves instead of using it for what God intended them to be used for. My God shall supply all your... But see, that comes from your need, you supplying somebody else's need. So he knows the need of my life. He will supply the need of my life based on how I supply the needs of others. And then you know the wonderful thing about it is, then with what I take and help others with, he gives that back to me. I increase it, and guess what I do with it? I help some more with it. It's a process of things. Well, I'll spend my whole life helping other people. What an awful concept. What a horrible concept. You'll spend your whole life helping others instead of yourself. See, some of you folks, seriously, your life wouldn't be as troublesome as it is, so depressing, so stressed out, so problematic, if you just learn to give out, get outside yourself and take what God has given you and help somebody else with it. And then when you do that, you help somebody else some more with it. Guess what? You become a channel of blessing in people's lives, but you get a little taste of it yourself. You get to help somebody else along the way. Come on, you ladies who cook, you know what I'm talking about. These ladies, they sit down after they cook a delicious meal and they say, I'm just not that hungry. You know why? Because they've been over there at the stove working the stuff. Don't look at me like that, ladies. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It's tasting this, tasting that, sampling this, sampling that. If you took all that stuff, put it on a plate, it's a pretty good meal. But the blessing of it is, while you're helping to prepare for somebody else, you get the good, you get the first fruit. Why do you think men carve the turkey at Thanksgiving? We're no good at it. We're no good at it. We butcher that bird. It's not me. I have a whole program that I go through and I follow. No, you don't. You know what you do. You cut off a piece and you go, nah, that's not going to make it. I better eat that. And you just keep cutting away on that bird because you want to carve the turkey because you get to eat first. Huh? You get the benefit of those little pieces of meat that fall off on the side. And you get the blessing of that, and somebody else gets to eat the rest of it. But my God shall supply all your need. Supplies the need. He knows what I need in my life. And so then he does that in relation to how much I help somebody else. And then what do? If I'm smart, I take that which he supplies my need from what I've supplied others' needs from, and I help somebody else with it. And guess what? It just kind of perpetuates itself. Now, you probably won't get wealthy, and you probably won't get a whole bunch of stuff, but hey, whoa, wait a minute. But I guarantee you what will happen along the way, you'll come across people who you get to help. Been pastoring this town now for almost 34 years. I can't go anywhere in public, anywhere, without coming across somebody that's either in this church or somebody over the years I've come to know or help or be a part of in their life. Or come across somebody who knows somebody. My favorite one is when you come, they ask me what I do for a living. I said, I'm pastor at Shasta Baptist Church. They said, I know, I go to your church. And I look at them. Now, there's not that many of us in here, okay? Or in our church, there's probably this crowd larger in the property, on the property today. I look at them and I say, I don't think so. Yeah, I'm there every Sunday. I'm thinking, wow, I got to get me some medication for my Alzheimer's, dementia, or something. No, I don't think you go to church. Oh, yeah, I do. I'm there every week. I love that Bethel. I said, no, Pastor Johnson, Shasta Baptist Church, not with the other dude over there. Yeah, I'm there every week. I said, okay, never mind. Fine, whatever the case may be. I got it. Grocery stores, mall, wherever. But you know something, dear people? I found something out. It's a blessing. Number one, it makes you behave yourself because you're always coming across somebody that you know. They want to catch me doing something I ought not to be doing because they're everywhere. And the truth is, the other thing is, after 34 years of pastoring in the city of Redding, California, and Shasta County, by the way, and part of Tehama County, I found something out. It's a blessing to see, I got to help and touch this life and help this one and do a part of that. I'm not talking about Mike Johnson being such a great person. All I'm saying is this. So it means I'm not going to get everything I need, but for some reason, that's what God needed me to have. And in so doing, he did that based on my helping others. Now I get to help somebody else again and help them with that need, and then it goes up. See, you're sitting here this morning, some of you, not all of you, some of you are sitting here this morning going, I'm waiting for Philippians 4:19 to come in. It's the first of the month coming up. I got bills to pay. I need some money. I need groceries. I need help. I need health. I need this. No, it's according to what he knows you need. Can't you trust him? Can't you realize he knows your greatest need? And he'll supply that according to your need, your willingness to meet the needs of others. And then you'll get to help others with their needs, and it just kind of goes on. And you actually live a life that's fulfilling. Hey, a life that actually makes a difference. It actually means something. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.